Okay, be honest. How often are you breathing through your nose? As you're about to learn, nasal breathing can have a dramatic impact on your happiness. Dean Gladstone is one of the OG Bondi Rescue lifeguards, and he's devoted his life to breath. You see, we can use our breath to keep calm in the surf, to fend off stress in our life, or to even enjoy deeper, more restorative rest. And in this conversation, Dean offers tremendous value around how we can use breath to improve our lives. We talk about the link between nasal breathing and deep sleep, and how taping up your mouth at night can actually improve your energy and vitality. We talk about breathwork and sport and the NRL team Dean's been working with lately. And Dean also offers some practical tools which you can use to unwind at night and enjoy more of the deep, good sleep. This is a great conversation traversing a lot of different topics. So grab a tea, grab a coffee, sit back and enjoy becoming Dean Gladstone. How long were you a lifeguard before Bondi Rescue?
So I started lifeguarding on Christmas Day in the year 2000. So yeah, my anniversary is coming up. There was always talk about potentially filming a TV show.
Was there?
Yeah, it was wild, wild back then. There was people very drunk on the beach. There was all sorts of wild stuff happening. And there was, yeah, it's just the busiest, craziest beach just because of the location, the proximity to the city.
Yeah.
The huge crowds, if you just, it's a numbers game. If you have that many people there, potentially something's going to happen. So we were just dealing with more rescues, more resuscitations, more spinals, more sharks, more everything.
Wow. What a day to start too on Christmas Day. Just throw you straight into the fire.
But the best way to start. I did 20 rescues in the first 2 hours.
Wow.
Really felt quite comfortable about it all, quite relaxed. The boys were awesome. Yeah, good fun team environment. I remember a girl just trying to grab me on the face and kiss me on my first day. I got an Irish backpacker, very, very drunk.
Yeah.
I was a bit nervous about that. And but yeah, that they started to clean up the alcohol off the beach early 2000s.
Okay. And did you notice?
It was loose, yeah.
You noticed a reduction in rescues since that happened?
Yeah, rescues have reduced. And really, I think now if we look at it, people are taking like ecstasy and drugs. And it's a different vibe. I think alcohol potentially makes people a little bit angry and a little bit violent, whereas, you know, New Year's Day at 5 a.m. now, everyone's hugging and kissing yeah. and there's less violence.
Right. What about general surf awareness? Do you think people are getting more aware of rips and potential dangers out there?
The show's been a huge educational tool worldwide. You know, our CPR videos are watched by millions of people, and we get these amazing stories sometimes where a mother has brought her child back to life after it's drowned in the pool from watching Bondi Rescue.
Wow.
No CPR training. They've just seen us do it and just had a crack and you know, changed their life and their child's life.
It must be massive for tourism as well, bringing people to Sydney and Australia.
Yeah, I think Bondi Beach is, one of the second most visited spot behind the Opera House.
Well, I have to thank you for bringing my girlfriend out to Australia as well, because she used to watch the show in London and she was like, I need to move to this place.
Wow.
Yeah. So, mate, I think you're responsible for our relationship. Was it weird when the show did go global, when it started hitting the screens?
The first year was really exciting when we were being filmed in 2005. And, you know, this was before YouTube and Facebook and a lot of stuff. Like, the world was very different then. We were watching American sitcoms on TV all together as a family and, you know, used to sit there and watch the ads and race to the toilet. Like, the world, the TV world's changed a lot since then. First year was exciting. We thought we were going to be on TV when we were getting filmed.
Right.
And, you know, none of us ever wanted, you know, there was no aspirations.
Yeah.
We didn't volunteer this. It's not like we applied to be on Big Brother. Well, a lot of the lifeguards now have seen Bondi Rescue and potentially they had the choice to go on, be a lifeguard and potentially be on Bondi Rescue.
Right.
Most of the team.
Interesting.
Whereas I was, you know, there was never any TV aspirations for me. I was just the team leader of the lifeguards and then got in discussions with groups that wanted to film us.
Were there any hesitations around that?
No, our goal was education. We wanted to prevent drownings. We wanted to, you know, the show was originally going to be a 60, 90-minute special. And we want to educate people. We want to save lives. That's what we do. That's our job.
It seems like the message have changed. Swimmers, maybe tourists coming out, if they do get stuck in a rip, now it's all about staying and floating.
Yeah, so there's a new campaign which Hoppo, our head lifeguard, or there's two head lifeguards, he's pushing this Float to Survive campaign.
Right, yeah.
Because the old don't panic, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
When you're in a rip and you're already panicking and because 400, around about 400 Aussies drown and die every year. You know, very similar to the breathwork stuff that I teach. I educate people about stress. When you're already in a stressful situation like drowning, you can't go, hang on, I'm just going to relax now. You need to practice and understand these tools before you implement them in a stressful situation. Mm. So this Float to Survive campaign is very much aligned, and I support and really like this campaign.
It makes sense, yeah. And it gives you such a clear instruction of what to do when you do get into that situation.
Yeah, well, if they swim the wrong way, because there's the potential to swim against the rip, swim to safety, but if you swim into the rip, then you're in trouble and you're wasting even more energy. So, yeah, if you can conserve your energy, you're more likely to survive, hence the name.
Before we get into your breathwork stuff, did any of the lifeguards, when it did go global, when the show launched, did any of them let it get to their head and love the fame and just get a bit carried away?
We used to give each other a fair bit of crap in the early days. Again, society's changed a lot. Like, you used to be embarrassed when you were doing a selfie.
Yeah.
Like 10 years ago, like filming yourself, you couldn't film yourself in public. You wouldn't film yourself in public.
Yeah, I used to, because I do that a bit for my job. Mm. It's easier for me to just to do a selfie instead of asking someone to do it. Don't have to burden them with the task.
Yeah.
And a few years ago, yeah, so embarrassed to do it in public, but now no one even bats an eyelid.
Yeah.
They're so used to it.
Yeah, and I think all the mindset's changed around it. Yeah, I wouldn't do it at all, whereas now I just can't do it. If I have to do it, I do it.
Mm.
And I consider it work.
With the lifeguarding stuff, what's that adrenaline like with the rescue? Would you compare it to surfing or something in terms of the adrenaline rush?
Yeah, it's huge. It's epic. It? Yeah. Doing CPR, massive. You are just flying for days sometimes. And, you know, that could go either way as well. Gets pretty heavy when they don't survive, and most people don't. In the general public, we've been pretty fortunate to have a fairly high success rate.
Really?
Yeah. Just with the early access we've got, the team we've got, the support we've got, all the first aid tools, the defibrillators, we've got multiple defibrillators, and we've got sort of more lifeguards than ever before. We've got two buggies, we've got two jet skis. If something hectic happens, the lifeguards from the other beaches will ride their scooters around to Bondi and help out, and vice versa. Yeah, so we've got this amazing little team where, I was sitting at Bronte a couple of years back, and I just heard this, resuscitation at Bondi, and there was nothing happening, and I just go, I'm going to jump on my scooter, and I just scooted to the car park, run down. The boys are in the middle of CPR, and I just jumped in, and we were able to help and help get that person back to life.
That's incredible. And credit to you guys for giving the beach such a great reputation.
Yeah, well, it is sort of safe and dangerous at the time because of the number of people. It's a challenge for us because on a busy day at Bondi, we can't keep everyone in between the flags. So we're sort of managing it as best we can. But ideally, a lot of the work we do is with people that aren't following the rules down the southern end.
Yeah. Yeah,
we end up spending more time with them than the people that are doing the right thing, swimming between the flags. So it's quite funny. I'm in the tower, I sort of justify being rude to people because there's a whole range of people on the beach that I need to watch, and you can't spend your time with some person, some pest asking you a stupid question. So it's sort of this customer service where you've got to manage everyone. And maybe you can justify yelling at people sometimes or going, no, go away.
Well, you got to be direct, right?
Got to be direct, yeah. So I'm yelling at people, get off the jet ski, you want, I call it direct communication.
Yeah, yeah. Get the surfers out of the flags.
Get out of the flags.
Yeah,
the surfers. We torment the surfers sometimes.
Where does breathwork come into it for you? How long have you been into breathwork and what was the transition into that?
Yeah, so I was an asthmatic as a kid. So breathwork's always been a part of my life. I always thought the swimming was my breathwork, or it is, because swimming regulates your breath.
Mm.
And I discovered yoga in my mid-20s. I could barely touch my knees, let alone my toes. So I started doing some yoga for mobility and realized this regulated nasal breathing, which we all know now, is just so good for you. So that really helped. And then I thought my journey was to be a yoga teacher. I was training people. I was in the health and wellness world. Thought journey was yoga teacher. But, yeah, sort of, you know, as I talked about earlier, mobility and being able to move and go from sitting to full speed was very important to me.
Mm.
So, yeah, all around health and wellness was vital.
Listening to a book at the moment called Breath, which is very interesting, all about nasal breathing, but maybe 5 years ago it wasn't as prevalent, just how important it is to breathe through the nose. Why is nasal breathing so powerful?
Yeah, its popularity in the last 5 years has just been huge. It is, I don't know if there's more evidence, there must be more research around it. James Nestor's book, which you're currently listening to, was huge. Wim Hof brought a lot of people to it.
Mm.
His breath work is very different and sometimes mouth breathing as well, but I think it people felt it. You can feel it.
Mm.
And a lot of people have done Wim Hof just on the internet, and you can feel the power of what you can do to your own body through breathing. And it brings people into access, because a lot of people meditate and talk about the benefits of meditation, and basically slow breathing is like a meditation. And the attachment point or the anchor point of the practice is your breath, and it seems to be just far more accessible.
Yeah, is it true that nasal breathing, it activates the diaphragm than the mouth breathing?
Yeah, take a big breath in through your mouth and then take a big breath in through your nose, and straight away you'll feel that diaphragm engage.
Mm, and that feels good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was showing this to my girlfriend and she was like, "What? Why nasal breathing?" I was like, well, just breathe into your tummy and feel how good that feels.
Yeah, so nasal breathing and diaphragmatic breathing both stimulate the relaxation response. And again, if we look at someone in a rip, if they're mouth breathing, and they most likely are, that's going to be stimulating a stress response, and they're already in a stressful situation, right? Mm. So you can see how these two things are connected, and my interest in all this stuff, teaching people about stress awareness and breath is the best tool to manage your stress.
What about when you're running or doing sports? Why is nasal breathing favourable then as well?
Yeah, great question. So as you talked about the diaphragm then, diaphragm's also a core muscle. So by breathing diaphragmatically, you're activating your core and you're less likely to get injured.
True.
Yeah. And you're filtering the air. You're breathing slower. You're breathing less. So you're less likely to get sick. By breathing slower, which you do naturally when you breathe through your nose, just because the holes are smaller, it essentially makes you fitter.
Of course,
it is the short explanation.
Because you're getting less oxygen. Yeah, right.
So your body's working harder. So for people out there that want to mix up their training a little bit, just by nasally breathing at the same intensity, if you're not used to it, it's going to make the workout much harder. And some people may not be able to tolerate that. So you feel free to drop it down a couple of levels. People that are injured, if they nasally breathe, they can get a higher intensity level of exercise without putting their body through the stresses.
Mm.
So I work with a lot of professional athletes and we've got all these tools and tips where we can work around stuff to get them performing their best without necessarily overtraining.
Yeah, almost like a bit of a training hack.
Mm.
It feels good when you're running too. I try and do it as much as I can when I'm running, and you almost feel calmer and more in control. And it's funny, you do get a few looks sometimes because you might have just run up a hill and you got your mouth closed and you look so peaceful. People are like, what's he doing with his mouth closed? But is it true that nasal breathing also releases nitric oxide? What's the role there?
Yeah, nitric oxide does about 30 functions in the body, and don't ask me what they all are. Nitric oxide's a natural antiseptic. So when you breathe in through your nose and there's viruses and toxins in the air, nitric oxide helps to minimise them.
Right.
Okay, and one of the other reasons we don't get sick when we breathe in through our nose, we pick up all that crap and we pass it through our digestive tract.
Mm.
When we breathe into our mouth, it goes straight into our lungs, so there's no filter. So, yeah, viruses, toxins, bacteria, all that stuff straight into your lungs. You know, it's a recipe for a chesty, coffee, sniffly nose.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you go for a run and it's cold, you know, people's nose run. So that's the nose doing its job. That's filtering the air.
Mm.
That's humidifying the air, making it ideal for our lungs to absorb oxygen.
What about sleeping? Now, the reason I bring this up, and she's going to kill me, my girlfriend Zoe, before I brought this to her awareness, she was so adamant she was a side sleeper.
Mm.
I said, Zoe, I reckon you spend 80% on your back, sometimes with the mouth wide open.
Yeah.
And if she's had a few drinks, there'll be a bit of snoring. She's going to kill me for saying this.
Mate, I bought some mouth tape over for you just in case.
Oh, did you?
Just in case it comes up. Yeah. So I'll leave it here. And
brilliant.
Yeah, Zoe, you'll look quite attractive with some
things. Yeah, I did have a look at yours, and it doesn't actually tape the mouth shut. It goes around the lips, right?
Yeah. So a couple of years ago, someone's like, Dean, you should, you know, create your own mouth tape. And I was like, oh, yeah, but the product that I, you know, that I sell, well, I started selling because I used it on my son. I said, it's too good. Like, I can't create something better than this or unless I'm copying it. So.
And it just encourages the lips to go together?
It's a funny looking square that goes around the lips, and you give it a little stretch, 20 or 30%, and this little stretch on the lips when you stick it on, just encourages the lips to come back together. So it just supports nasal breathing. But for people with stress and anxiety, the thought of sealing their lips together is way too much, and they won't do it. So originally this tape was developed for kids.
Right.
Because we certainly don't want to encourage people to tape their kids' mouth shut, you know, something. The tape does come off fairly easily. If you are on a budget and want to use the cheap stuff, just buy a 3M micropore tape. It's about $4 at the chemist. Works fantastically.
Right.
I did it for years. But this product that I sell is brilliant.
Breathing through your mouth is a pretty big no-no when you're sleeping, right?
Well, that stimulates your sympathetic nervous system. So do we want to stimulate your sympathetic nervous system in the middle of the night? So we don't want that arousal in the middle of the night. Do we? More likely to wake up, more likely to go to the toilet. So insomnia, whole range of problems, heart rate increases, body's working overtime, you come out of deep sleep where you get all your recovery. I believe you even download memories at night in your sleep, so you're less likely to retain new information.
Right. Yeah. Your massive sleep is everything.
Sleep is huge.
Yeah. I've been really trying to optimize it recently. The big thing for me is deep sleep, because I track it on the Apple Watch, which not sure how accurate that is, but deep sleep's only 30 or 40 minutes, and I'm really trying to increase that. So I'm not sure if it's a mouth breathing issue. I might have to jump on your strips to work that out.
Yeah. Do you wake up with a dry mouth?
Not that I'm aware of. Mm. I think I'm quite a light sleeper, so it doesn't take much for me to wake up. And I'll tease Zoe that sometimes her snoring or her breathing will wake me up. So I think the strips are actually going to be good for both of us.
Yeah, we'll give them a try. As I said, you know, there's some here for you to try. With a little bit of growth, they may work, they may not. But you could try the white tape as well and see if it helps. Some people are able to quickly retrain. So it's not like you need these strips for the rest of your life. In 1 to 3 months, you're able to sort of retrain your body to do what it should naturally do. Anyway, all this mouth breathing as I'm talking is decreasing oxygen to my brain, which is another benefit of slow nasal breathing. Now, for people that talk all day like we're doing now, potentially we're mouth breathing and I can actually feel my heart rate increasing.
Where do you see breath work in 10 years? It's come so far in 5 years even. Do you think it's going to be widely adopted by everyone day to day or sit within the health and wellness community?
Yeah, so I've been working with rugby league clubs the last couple of years, and the first year I was in there with Parramatta, and it was woo-woo. I wasn't quite getting the buy-in that I wanted. The guy I work with, his name's Andrew May, he's a brilliant mental skills coach, and breath work is linked to every system and organ in the body, but every sort of mental skill, if you're breathing dysfunctionally, you're not getting the most out of that skill, that movement, that thought.
Right.
So breath work supports everything. So, we're working with Manly last year, more uptake, and then this year the players are right into it.
Becoming more mainstream.
More mainstream. But, yeah, workplaces are doing it. There's breathwork studios opening, and it seems to go hand in hand with cold therapy. And as you know now, there's places everywhere where you can go and have an ice bath.
Mm. Yeah, it's wonderful. And I guess a lot of that mainstream exposure is thanks to people like Andrew Huberman, or maybe Joe Rogan, push it on their podcast. people see it becoming more normal. With the ice bath stuff, you said you had a course where you train people how to use it properly. What sort of value can they get from that course?
Yeah, it's and again, there's lots of benefits from cold water therapy. In this day and age, people, they don't seem to be getting out of their comfort zone.
Mm.
So their bodies aren't getting stressed. We're not getting outdoors. We're not exercising. So sauna and cold therapy stimulate the body in a way similar to exercise. Not quite, and they're different stimulus as well. Sauna in particular increases the heart rate and you get to sweat, you get to detoxify. So that's really good, and you can do that while sitting down.
Mm.
So still should exercise as well, obviously, but, yeah, you get the benefits. Cold therapy is really good because humans have evolved for millions of years going in and out of the cold. And in the last 30, 40, 50 years in particular, they're not getting cold at all.
Mm.
So it just seems to just empower people. It seems to change people. It does something very special.
Mm.
And I'm not sure what that mechanism is, and it's different for different people, but it really seems to my partner gave up alcohol 4 years ago. And again, another thing that seems to be becoming more popular, especially around Bondi. And it was at the same time she started, hello Katie, if you're listening, started ice bathing. So it's this very supportive habit.
Yeah, it's really empowering to know that you can make change and break those really long-standing habits.
Have you had a couple of ice baths, mate?
Oh, not recently, not Dean. Recently. Yeah, it's been a while. I did a few on the beach down at Bondi. Yeah. Sometimes I'll go down to one of the sauna places here. But
yeah, and did you feel like amazing afterwards?
Felt amazing. Energy? Yeah. It's because you do it early in the morning. It kickstarts your day with this huge dopamine spike, which feels more sustainable than a coffee. It'll last you for hours and gives you energy throughout the day. But what I do now as a smaller substitute is just jump in the cold shower. So now most of my showers are cold. And there's something about just doing something a little bit hard gives you confidence with these other things in your life. And it's more recently I did a little caffeine detox, stopped drinking coffee. And it's another one of those things where you're breaking such a long-standing habit. It makes you look at all the other habits in your life and be like, oh, yeah, what changes can I make now? Gives you lots of momentum. It's really good.
Mm. Yeah, so breath work's the same. It's tangible. You can feel it. Mm. You have an ice bath and you can feel it. And generally people feel pretty amazing afterwards.
Mm.
The funny thing is, you know, we've been teaching cold therapy for about 5-6 years. And when we were first teaching it, like it was only football players were doing it. It was a little bit wild. People used to come in terrified.
Really?
Absolutely terrified, shitting themselves. Oh, no, you don't know. I get really cold or I can't do it. Like I'm terrified of the cold. Like, yeah. you don't know I'm special.
Yeah. Got a phobia.
Yeah. And then after they do it, it just changed their lives.
Yeah, for muscle recovery. And
no, but just for anything.
Right, yeah.
And someone
yeah.
comes in thinking, I can't do something, and they walk out and they've smashed out a 2 or 3 minute ice bath. They've achieved something. They've got a different mindset when they leave.
There's a breath work I do. I've spoken about it on the podcast a few times where it's a guided meditation on YouTube. And I'm not sure what type this is. You might be able to tell me, but it's basically 2 big inhales, firstly through your diaphragm and then top it off in your lungs,
yep.
followed by a massive release. And you do it for about 20, 25 minutes, that same thing, quite fast. Yep. And by the end of it, I'm just in such a blissful state.
Yeah.
Meditative, thinking about things in my life, what's important, you feel grateful. It's such a great stress relief. Is that some of the breath work that you engage in or is that?
Yeah, so I teach all of it. So you could generally talk about fast breathing and slow breathing as a generalization. Controlled superventilation. So the Wim Hof method is like a fast breathing technique.
Mm-hmm.
And the ancient yogis, there's lots of rebirthing. What else is popular? Holotropic.
Yeah.
They're types of fast breathing technique and you can do it. People do 6-7 inhales and then a exhale. But if you're inhaling more than you're exhaling, you're stimulating the sympathetic nervous system. You're stimulating fight or flight.
Right.
The difference between you panicking in a rip is you're actually there intentionally doing that to yourself in a nice, safe space.
Mm.
So you're intentionally bringing a little bit of stress into your body, maybe getting some of the benefits of exercise like we talked about with cold therapy and sauna before, hot and cold therapy. So your heart rate, you're moving your diaphragm, you're moving your core muscles, you're massaging and detoxing by overbreathing, and yeah, you're sort of mixing up things in your body. You're changing blood flow to the brain. So you're probably getting out of this prefrontal cortex, which is your monkey mind, right?
Right.
You're also decreasing oxygen to the brain. So you wouldn't do that whilst you're driving a car.
Sure.
Or before you go swimming, there is a small chance of passing out. So right, yeah, safety first for anyone.
Just common sense doing, too, because after that,
it is common sense, but multiple people have died.
Really?
Doing that. So people are doing techniques like you've explained and then holding their breath underwater.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That reminds me of that, the diving documentary. I think it's even called One Breath or Breath.
The longest. Yeah, I've seen that. And that's, you know, it is human nature because we've taken over 10,000 people through ice baths.
Wow.
And one of the questions people get out and say, what is your record?
Yes.
Yeah. And I'm all for it. I love pushing boundaries. But to understand these types of stresses, if you hold your breath for too long or stay in an ice bath for too long.
How often are you ice bathing? How often do you recommend?
I've got a beautiful little cold tub at home.
Oh,
so
do you?
I jump in most mornings for 20 to 30 seconds. It's sort of a social thing for me now. Quite often my friends will come around, we'll jump in. I've got two saunas at home.
Different types?
Yeah, I got an infrared and a traditional. Yeah. We teach a lot of breath work and hot and cold therapy at home. Well, mainly cold therapy, but then after teaching cold therapy, there's nothing better than jumping in the sauna. So I couldn't get, we'd sort of have 10, 12 people around. Everyone would be trying to jump into my three-person infrared sauna. So I was like, I've got to get her. So yeah.
Traditional.
Yeah.
Do you have a preference between the two?
I enjoy both of them actually. As soon as I got the traditional sauna, I wanted to get in that and started using it, but I've actually come back to the infrared a little bit more.
Yeah, okay.
The breath works much better in the infrared. The heat's not as brutal on the nose and the body, but it does penetrate deeper. You can feel it.
Mm. And do you work with your girlfriend?
My partner.
Your partner?
Yeah, my partner sort of started assisting me many years ago, and it was fascinating what she brought to it. Male and female energy was amazing, and she's a long-time yoga teacher, although she's not full-time. She still studies, and it was, the way she worked with people, the way she brought safety into what we do was just game-changing for me.
Yeah, and you find your two energies complement each
other. Yeah. So I was working with a mate of mine who's an old tradie, and sort of it was two blokes, and it was he's very masculine. And he could potentially bring too much masculine energy into a room. Now, this is great for young men. They would love this. But if you had a room full of women, potentially not quite the energy that serves them the best. So
if they're a bit hesitant to jump in there.
Yeah, because it's, you know, it can be intense. And, you know, years ago it used to be, again, seen as a little bit woo-woo. There was less science about it. And, so teaching with Katie was just a revelation, and it was just – she was just amazing.
That's cool.
Really cool. And just having a second person there is brilliant. She's really good with people's names, so she makes people feel safe.
Wonderful.
And once you start delving into the science, there's some science about this stuff. If you look at the polyvagal theory and the social engagement nerves, if you make people feel safe, they're going to have a better time.
And do you find if people are strangers after they jump in there, after they do these things – they're on an endorphin high, they all become friends as well? They become more social?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so people bond. When we have 3 hours with people, we're able to connect. Mm. And again, connection, there's science behind this stuff. It's not sort of these lovey, fuzzy words. Human connection is very important and evolutionary. You know, if you're not connected to another bunch of humans, you don't feel safe. So, yeah, getting humans to connect. And I never focused on this stuff. And, you know, I was sort of facilitating it and watching it happen and watching the difference when I don't make time for that connection and these things, and then seeing the different outcomes. And it was mind-blowing. But if we did exactly the same session without the connection, which quite often I felt like we did, the results just are nowhere near as good.
Really?
Time and time again.
Mm.
So it's vital to make those times, time for connection at the start of the session.
So is it a course? They'll come to you and do a course? Is it a long thing or
Mate, it's very different depending on who I'm with and what they want. You know, with the Sea Eagles, with the Manly Rugby League team, it's more performance based.
Yeah.
We're giving them go-to techniques sometimes in the game. So that physiological side that you sort of hinted a little bit about.
Yeah.
Where they can just down-regulate. Educating. There's a lot of education because a lot of people are doing breath work, but they're not quite getting the education. They're not quite getting the why.
Mm.
We seem to be getting people that have already done breath work, and then maybe they want a little bit more education.
Sure. Just understanding the science behind it.
It depends if we're, you know, doing corporate work. There's an ice bath instructor certification. There's breath work certifications that I run. I try and tailor what people need or what people want and give that to them.
It's really cool. It seems very diverse in the offerings as well. Did you set out for it to become this big thing, or did it just evolve?
It certainly was my passion. It felt all very natural. You know, as we talked about people in the rips at the start, this is essentially a float to survive course.
Yeah, right.
I would bet that if I had 3 hours with people before that we did some sort of scientific study, whether they would drown or not, the people that did my course would be far less likely to drown. Now, how do you do this scientific experiment? Yeah. We'll have to reach out to Mr. Huberman to see if he can run a group.
Yeah.
We'll get some Whoop bands on them and also some GoPros at the bottom of Bondi and we'll chuck them in a rip. But
He's been known to do the VR tests, so maybe there's a bit of VR involved.
Yeah, potentially, you know, but it's expensive to run all these studies. I don't need the studies. Back when I used to do all this weird shit in 2007, 2008, people used to look at me like I had two heads, and intuitively I used to know it was good for me, so I never used to worry about the science.
It must be quite satisfying to see the science catch up and for people to accept it.
Yeah, it was intuitively I could feel what I was doing was good for my health back then, and people used to ask me about it, and I used, you know, why do you drink raw milk? And it's like, I don't know, it just feels right. And then I had to start to learn about it, to explain it to them.
I know that you're a Czech practitioner as well. Is that where that learning came into it?
Back in the day, yeah.
Right.
So I had a horrible health mishap where I was assaulted in 2005 and lost my health.
Wow.
So when you lose something, you become very passionate about it. And I struggled post-traumatic stress, anxiety, and again, sort of some of the stuff that I'm passionate about now. And I love to support people with these challenges.
Yeah.
And I very much get to have some great success with people. So reach out if you're not having any luck with what you're currently doing, because I've had some real great wins lately. But yeah, so really passionate about that stuff. My own health journey.
Mm. Just in terms of reaching out if you're having troubles with movement, mobility, or nutrition,
stress and anxiety.
If you're
banging your head against the wall and you've seen all these doctors and all these psychologists, and you want to come and try something different.
Yeah.
Managing stress is what I do.
Yeah, cool.
That's my passion. Help educating people about stress. If they can improve and understand stress, they'll improve health and performance.
That's massive. And going back to the trend where these things are becoming more accepted, people in corporate jobs and the corporate world are becoming more aware of how stress is affecting their jobs and how it's affecting their lifestyle.
Yeah. As I said, breathing affects every system and organ in the body. There's studies of people that have had heart attacks and all of them are dysfunctional breathers. You talked about mouth breathing and that, you know, that's these people in the studies, and these are the ones that have survived heart attacks, right?
Yeah.
Because heart disease is the biggest killer worldwide.
What are your thoughts on movement in terms of overloading that stress? Would you encourage people to train 2 or 3 times a week and then incorporate ice baths, or what sort of split would you have? Because I think I've been guilty of overtraining in the past, just doing weights every day, thinking that was making an improvement. But now I'm trying to be more conscious of including those recovery days, because that's just as important.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's people out there doing too much and they're addicted to it, these type A personalities. They just go. And then there's people out there doing not enough. So, yeah, you need an individualized program. When you fully stress a muscle out, it needs 48 hours to recover.
Right.
So if you're doing a heavy set, Needs up to 48 hours to recover, like those big squat days, right? When your legs are sore and you can't get up the stairs.
Yeah.
So if you're training every day, potentially you're going to even be too sore to lift those maximal loads. So you want to see where you can try and keep getting a bit of improvement somewhere, try and gauge your training somehow.
Yeah. Yeah, would that be for the same muscle group, 48 hours to recover, or just generally the body?
Yeah, same muscle group. So you can split your – I believe they do bro splits and stuff where they split up different muscle groups on different days. I like more of a functional whole body training, and again, depends how much time you've got to add to it. Sometimes you can mix in a little cardio, and sometimes you can make your resistance training cardio as well if you mix up those recovery times and the weights and make it fun and functional.
What sort of work do you do for your lifeguarding in terms of movement? Is it mostly cardio or?
Yeah, what do I do? I'm all over the place. I haven't been doing much lately. I've been absolutely flat chat with work. I do a little bit with I do maybe 10 PT sessions a week. So I move with my clients. I do a little bit of foam rolling and stuff with them.
Yeah, right.
My mobility, my body feels really good actually. And that's potentially a part of me not overtraining.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
I do ice bath and sauna and I walk the dogs. At the moment, I haven't been doing much exercise myself. I really hope to pick up my game a little bit. I feel when I don't drink and I eat well, I retain my fitness.
Isn't that funny?
I sleep well, I'm breathing well. I'm sort of bouncing. I bounced out of bed at 5 o'clock this morning, which I was a little bit annoyed about.
You mentioned briefly that you had an incident where you were assaulted. How did that event impact your trajectory going down the health and wellness route?
Yeah, I believe that event changed my whole life. Yeah, it was pretty severe. I was king hit, had my four front teeth knocked out. I was hospitalised. I had a disc bulge in my spine. I had, anxiety and trauma. I didn't want to leave the house. Wow. I wouldn't drink alcohol afterwards. I didn't feel safe. And again, when I talk about the polyvagal theory and all these science behind making people feel safe at my events, there is this empathy that I've been there and I felt unsafe. If I was in an environment around people drinking, I used to feel very uncomfortable and I used to sit near a wall or a corner where I could see everyone. It was heavy.
Yeah, wow.
And I never realised that people went through this stuff. My mind was blown.
Did you have any strategy to deal with that PTSD?
I bounced around from doctor to doctor and, it's hard. Sometimes I feel bad being critical of doctors and the medical system, but it was useless. Mm. They were just trying to put me on drugs, sleeping tablets, cholesterol-lowering drugs, anti-anxiety medication, and it just didn't do anything for me at all. So I just sort of bounced around, started reading books and ended up with a Czech practitioner.
Right, okay.
And he was just like, he literally like was asking me proper questions, asking me about stuff I ate. And I'm like, oh my God, why isn't the medical system doing this? Why is there no talk about it? They look at the way people breathe.
Right. Yeah. So for people listening, a Czech practitioner is a holistic practitioner.
Yeah, holistic health coach. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're looking at your thinking, what you eat, how you eat it, what you ate, how you breathe, your hydration.
How would they find a Czech practitioner?
Yeah, I guess you'd have to just jump online and search for one. I know the Corrective Culture Boys, which have you had?
Yeah, they're on the last podcast.
Yeah, so maybe have a listen to those boys. Those boys really know their stuff. My focus is not as much on the Czech stuff now. It's more about breathing. And stress management. I dive pretty deep into the breathing and cold therapy components.
Right.
Do a fair bit of research about sauna as well. But I'm not doing the whole Czech program.
Okay.
Fairly focused on breathing actually.
Yeah.
And there's so much science and so much work there. There's good people out there doing good things. And James Ness's book that you talked about before. It's called Breath: The New Science of the Lost Art. And in the book, he talks about these techniques being discovered and then forgotten about, being discovered and then forgotten about. So, no doubt we're seeing all this stuff coming into popularity, which is great. And, maybe it's we're on an upward spin.
Yeah, 100%. If you're having a bad day, if you wake up low energy, you don't feel like working, What will you do on those days? How do you get after it?
Yeah, so I've got the cold tub at home, so I can jump straight into the cold tub. If I tape my mouth maybe 4 or 5 nights a week, and sometimes if I don't tape, I wake up and I'm like, oh, wow, I was mouth breathing last night. I know. I wake up, I feel sluggish, I feel flat.
Wow.
And then, yeah, just jump in the cold tub for 30 seconds. That usually does the trick.
That gets you. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah. It just, yeah, gets the body ready. I'm usually training clients sort of 6 to 8 or 6 to 9. So I've got a couple of hours of being on, and then usually there's some sort of break. Mm. So I'll schedule in a nap or a breathing and meditate, do some breath work, and just sort of manage it. Yeah, my days are very, very different and all over the place.
Mm. Oh, that's great. Well, it just sounds like you, with that diving into the ice bath, you don't really give yourself a chance to have a crap day. You get in the ice bath and you see people, so you've got that connection, and then you just automatically get into a better place.
Yeah, well, my problem now is I work for myself. Mm. And, you know, COVID was tough. I struggled through it a little bit. Running a small health business, all the gyms were closed and all that sort of stuff. We're trying to coach people online. So now things are going well, and I'm really stimulated by what I'm doing, but I'm working too much. I'm sort of online, social media is like, you're sort of online chipping away. I see something, oh, I should do this, I should do that, you should film this, you should create content. So I'm having trouble switching off at the moment, and I'm not prioritizing my own exercise. But I really enjoy the study, and I really enjoy the direction that I'm going in. And my focus is to learn and grow. So I'm sort of justifying my lack of exercise with some of the successes that I've had helping people. But yeah, I certainly need a goal and something to give myself a little kick up the ass. Mm. I have a beautiful little gym at home, which is not very far from your house, which has a cold tub and a sauna. So
yeah, I'm loving
it.
It'd
be great to have you around for a session, actually. I need people to train with sometimes.
I'd love that, mate. Yeah, for sure.
That hold similar hours to myself, where maybe you can get those sort of mid-morning sessions in. But yeah, I need a little bit of discipline or something just to keep me on track. And sometimes, training with a friend can do that. So yeah, I don't know. I need that bit of oomph.
Yeah, that's interesting to hear, because as working for myself, it's great when I have a podcast like this, because that the person holds you accountable, but you also get that connection aspect that you don't get from a heavy day of editing or something like that. So they're the days where I'm having to be more conscious about things which I can do to sort of stay on track a little bit, but also just maintain that positive mindset.
Yeah, the distraction. I'm trying to manage my distraction and prioritize my day so I can be efficient and get that little bit more time for myself. But I've had these cool opportunities come up, working with professional athletes, and I was out with the New South Wales Swifts, the netball girls, last couple of weeks, and that sort of wasn't planned in the diary. And it's December, it's before Christmas, I'm trying to wind down.
Yeah, that's it.
And it's not happening. But these are great opportunities, and I'm really grateful for it. So
yeah,
just have to say yes.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like it's really becoming a part of mainstream sport.
Mm.
Are there any, would you say NRL's sort of at the forefront of that?
The individual athletes that choose to come and see me that work in an individual sport potentially have a little bit more ownership of what's going on.
Yeah.
Team playing sports, their club has hired me to come in, so it's not like they actually want me. So one of the sessions I did with them recently, I was a little bit frustrated, because usually, in my ice bathing sessions, I have people hugging me and crying and going, you changed my life, this was the best thing that I ever done. And I did a session with a bunch of professional athletes recently, and some of them were a little bit bored, and
because they didn't have the buy-in.
Well, they do stuff all day.
Yeah,
they do stuff all day, and it's just another person talking at them. And maybe it was my ego, but usually I want buy-in.
For sure.
If people don't buy in, they're not engaged, and they're not going to realize when they get a little bit stressed how they're breathing and how their posture is. Mm.
Yeah, so you don't get the satisfaction out of it as well.
So there's no satisfaction. So, I want people that pay me to get value for money.
Mm.
But, so it's different. And I think that's, I've spoke to people about it, and it's, that's what happens when you're working with athletes. Potentially, really? You're not going to get those same changes.
Yeah, sure.
And that same buy-in.
What about surfers? Have you worked with surfers?
Worked with a couple of surfers. So I chat to a whole range of people. There's so much to do. The ice bathing stuff has just been so popular.
Mm.
It's sort of, I've done less breath work and more ice bathing.
Right.
I've got a fair bit of free online content. I've done some cool stuff, underwater rock running, and the surfers are funny ones, actually. They're a little bit too cool to potentially pay and do some sessions.
Right, okay.
The last sort of surfing-specific course that I ran in Bondi, I felt like I was sort of begging people to come and do the course. And again, I don't want to beg people to come and do my courses. You know, so I want to put it on, and I just want people to come. And it's, when you work for yourself, you don't realize you're in sales and all this stuff sometimes. And that's part of the job is it's a little bit full on, you know.
Yeah.
It feels like you're like, please do my course. And it's awkward.
Two different skills, aren't they?
Mm.
Well, it certainly sounds like you won't. The rising popularity means that you won't have to do much of that.
So sort of see where it all goes. Yeah, I don't know whether, you know, there's some online, I've got some options to make some online content. I've got lots of ideas, but just not the time to.
Not enough hours in the day.
Not enough hours in the day to, and again, just trying to be precise and trying to, you know, do the stuff that's going to really help people and then focus. Because sometimes I start doing one thing and then I'm like, oh, I've got this great idea, and then I start doing this and I don't actually finish or do anything.
Yeah, there's an unlimited things you can do in the content world. You really have to try and be specific about it. I find that as well. Just, you know, there's always a reel to do or a post or a podcast. It can be a bit overwhelming. It's great when you get to a place where you find one or two or three things to do. You can focus on that and be confident that that's moving the needle. That's giving value. You mentioned that you find it difficult to unwind sometimes at night. Do you have any breath work practices that will help you do that?
Yeah, just some slow breathing. I really like the yoga nidra practices where people sort of talk about focused relaxation. I naturally do a lot of breath work, so I find that really nice as well, just sort of someone telling you to relax. So, yeah, guided breath work can be beautiful. And, you know, if people are listening, just find one that you like. Find something that makes you feel good.
Just on Spotify?
Yeah, there's heaps on YouTube. There's heaps of beautiful free content out there in the world. It's an amazing world we live in right now. Mm. Heaps of awesome stuff. But so nasal breathing, why it's so powerful, we talked about it. You're breathing less. This lowers the heart rate. So this decreases stress on the body and sets you up for relaxation. So really good to do before bed, improves immune system, and, just gets that heart and that mind sort of linked.
It really feels like you drop into your body.
Drop into the body.
Yeah.
And when you're focusing on relaxation, what do they say? Where your attention goes,
attention goes, energy flows.
Yeah. Yeah. So just focusing on that relaxation combined with slow breathing, you know, you've set yourself up in a nice spot and made time for yourself to relax. Because, I'm struggling to watch TV at the moment. It just all seems to be crap.
Oh, for sure. I go up to visit my mum and she watches the morning shows on TV on free to air. She'll be watching Sunrise and it's like, Mum, are you aware of what this is doing to your body? Like, how stressful is it?
Yeah.
The whole thing's designed to evoke fear with their rolling red banners on the bottom and just the language they use. And it's so important to be mindful of what you're consuming there.
Mm.
Crazy.
Yeah, mindless TV.
Mm.
But yeah, even the TV shows, I just can't seem to get into a nice TV show. So yeah, I get quite stimulated by some of the breathing books, but that's, again, it sort of stimulates my mind and I want to write notes and I want to do stuff and I want to share content and I'm trying to wind down. So
yeah,
that's my little challenge at the moment.
Are you a believer in seasons? Do you think you're just in a massive sprint mode at the moment and maybe next year will be more of a yin season where you can slow down a bit or?
Yeah, well, we're still pretty good. It's trying not to do that. It's trying to switch off my laptop. Mm. So you're not getting, not getting the blue lights. But sometimes if I do have a little concept, if I just grab a pen and paper and write it down, I feel like it's out of my head. Mm. And if I get a couple of things done during the day, then I feel like I've achieved the, you know, when I'm out working all day and not doing my admin, sometimes I feel a little bit overwhelmed that I haven't got to go through emails and social media and reply to people and do all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So that's the – because some days I get – like I'll have two PT sessions and then it's just me and the laptop at home. You know, obviously I've got the cold tub, the gym and the sauna downstairs for me to use, and I've got dogs to walk, but sometimes kids to cook for. But, yeah. there's I get a whole heap of time just to
– That's a lot.
I need a lot of time to do my stuff.
As it always is the case, towards the end of the year, you're in a bit of a sprint mode, and I was feeling quite overwhelmed last week for no particular reason, just work was busy and I haven't really had a break for a while. So my strategy was, look, I'll put Monday aside and I'll just use it as a bit of a reflection day. So of course I put it off till 2 p.m. that afternoon, but pulled out the journal, and a strategy I used was just writing out everything that was annoying me a little bit. Just write it out, and naturally you kind of just self-soothe, where you're like, oh, that's okay, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then after the journaling for about half an hour, I did that breath work, which I'll share in the show notes, but just great guided breath work. And it's amazing, those two things combined, afterwards it's just a huge weight lifts off your shoulder. Yeah, sometimes you just need to find a few of those little strategies, spend some time by yourself, and it just brings so much stress off your shoulders.
Yeah, I've been quite grateful lately, actually. But yeah, the gratitude, when I get down, actually, the gratitude practice, just jotting down a couple of and it's the simplest stuff.
Mm.
The simplest stuff.
Works a treat.
Mm.
You won't believe it, but it's been an hour.
Wow.
So yeah, this you get into the flow, and these podcasts just time disappears. But Dean, before I do let you go, what's next, mate? Are you going to be focusing on breath work, ice bath predominantly next year? How's 2024 going to go for you?
Yeah. So I guess my role, I'm training the trainers. I'm teaching other professionals breath work and cold water therapy.
Cool.
So that's awesome. Working with some big groups, and I'm still lifeguarding. So Christmas Day, I'll be down on the beach.
Good luck.
My kids are overseas with their mum. So I've got no parental duties, and New Year's Day as well, I'm working at the beach. So as I said, you know, I don't drink much anymore. My partner's been alcohol-free for a long time. So we go to bed pretty early. So, yeah, looking forward to working on the beach. It's a great spot to be.
Wonderful.
Bondo Rescue's just started filming season 18.
Wow.
So if you look back at me in those early days, like I look like a baby.
Yeah, because how old were you when it started?
How old am I now? 45.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah.
You don't look a day over 40.
Thank you.
It's all that breath work.
Yeah, all that breath work. Yeah, so I don't know, late 20s?
Yeah, wow, okay. Season 18.
There's actually a cool video where we did some underwater rock running in season one or season two. And we did this race across the bay at Bondi.
Really?
Yeah.
Sick.
Sort of, you know, but I didn't actually know the science about what we were doing. We used to just do it because the Hawaiians did it. Yeah. And it used to feel good.
It's cool that you did it because it feels good, but now you know why it feels good.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming on the show.
Pleasure, buddy.
I'm sure I'll see you around the hood, but might even pop over for an ice bath and sauna.
Yeah, let's go.
Thanks, man.